So after Peter LaFleur's Average Joe's knocked off Globo Jim on the Ocho, I got to see Rob Domofsky make the 25th pick in the 2024 NFL Nation Mock Draft with Rich Mahogany behind him, and now he joins us perhaps from a different room in his home. He is the Packers beat writer. What is this now, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years? At ESPN? You've been there a long time. We're still waiting for you to get your first pick right in the mock draft. And I hope this one, you got it. Cooper DeJean's favorite beat writer, it is Rob Domofsky. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jason. I'm not going to get it right because Goody talked extensively about how much he liked Cooper DeJean or how versatile he was or whatever the answer was. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, well, we taped the show yesterday. And if he was going to take Cooper DeJean, he wouldn't have gotten...
Well, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I saw this in the transcript because you got your own question, which is always fun in our transcription pool. And that's what you said. You're not... You must have gotten it wrong. But he was directly asked by one of our colleagues about Cooper DeJean. And if you're Goody and you say, oh, I'm not going to talk about specific prospects... Then isn't that tipping your hand that you might like him? I think you've still got a real shot here, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on which way you look at it. I'm 0 for, I guess it's 11, or soon to be 0 for 12 or whatever. So I guess I'm just trying. I'm looking at it from the negative perspective because I haven't gotten a single one right. Although I believe on our TV show, that we do on Channel 2, WBAY, which will air tonight in the Green Bay and perhaps other markets. Last year, I did flip my pick to Lucas Van Ness on that show because the problem with our, you know, full disclosure on our mock draft at ESPN, we actually have to do that on Friday. We tape it over the weekend so that the producers can then put it together to air on Tuesday. So a lot of times, the best information comes out, you know, today or even tomorrow morning of the draft. Right. I remember 2020, someone telling me on either Wednesday night or Thursday morning, hey, don't be surprised if they take Jordan Love. And I was like, I could have used that information 3 or 4 days ago.
So, Rob, what is some of this best information? Because now it's Wednesday. You're a newsbreaker. You are a newsbreaker. What are you hearing? Give us what those ears are hearing behind 1265.
Yeah, I mean, look, you never know what to believe. That's the thing, Tausch. For all those times that I said, you know, those last couple examples that I mentioned, there's been just as many where people have told me things that weren't even close to true.
Some subterfuge. So, little subterfuge.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just so hard to know. I have not talked to anybody today. I did throw my mock draft pick, Cooper DeJean, by a couple people last night after the show aired. And I got basically the could be kind of responses from a couple of people.
Oh, that's not bad.
So
that's pretty good.
And it's just here's the problem, too. I think there's a decent chance they might move up a couple spots. If they want to tackle, they might have to. You know, the worst part, selfishly for me, is if Cooper DeJean's on the board and they don't take him, right? Then I really botched it. There's been years where I've picked guys that have gone that just had gotten picked before the Packers. So I guess, I mean, yes, I was wrong, but they didn't have the opportunity to take those players. So, look, I was just texting with another member of the media about this who was trying to work on his mock draft pick. And it's like, this is impossible. We went round and round and round, and then finally it was, this is impossible.
So, Rob, if you're looking at it, I know you got Cooper DeJean as your guy. But if the Packers, everything falls the way they want, what position do you think they would address if all draft grades were equal?
Yeah.
Where do you think Goody is like, this is where we have to hit with the makeup of our team as it sits?
I think it's tackle, Tausch. I really do. And I've seen the Duke guy mocked to the Packers, but he's not an NFL tackle, I don't think, from what everyone has told me. I don't see them making that pick. Barton, I think, is his name. Look, like we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago that apparently rocked the world, you know, if they want a center for next year, they're going to move Zach Tom there. They're not going to draft another center. But I do think that tackle is their greatest need, and therefore, you know, we never really know how they assemble their board, but I heard you guys talking before I came on about, like, their needs may make a player rated higher than, you know, a team that wants a quarterback or whatever. So, like, it's just – if they came out of this draft with a guy who could compete for a starting tackle job this year, that's probably the best thing. Now, maybe that's a second or third round pick. You know, I don't know. It is a deep tackle draft from what they tell me. The other thing, Tausch, and I think this is – I like to point this out on mock drafts. I think there's too many people in this mock draft business that pick who they want the Packers to take or who they would pick. No one cares what we think. I'm trying to figure out what they would do. Obviously, I haven't been very good at it, but that is my attempt. My attempt isn't to pick, hey, I would pick Cooper DeJean. Like, no one cares what I think.
So we spent a lot of time talking about subterfuge with Goody to start our session with him on Monday.
Yeah.
How much of the, I've got five picks in the first 91, because you just suggested that they might have to go up to get a tackle. Yeah. How much of, I've got five picks in the first 91, I could get five of the top 50 guys on my board. Those are really good players. I don't want to give up those picks. Do you actually believe? Because that is what he told us.
It is. And here's the thing, Jason. Like, I don't think they do this way anymore. In fact, I think Goody a couple years ago explained the way they rate guys. But I would love to know. How many do they pick at 25? Do they have 25 players with first round grades? Now, I'm pretty sure that used to be the way they graded, right? Mm-hmm. I think that has changed a little bit. So, but my bigger point is, what do they value is in the top 91? Do they have 91 players or 100 players that they think are really good enough to be picked at? If not, then you have to probably move up, you know, whether that's in the first, second, or third rounds. You know, if you're not getting the value that you think you should get at those picks, then you probably should trade up, right?
Well, you would think so. At the same time, I do think that there are, you know, if you believe your board, and we did that whole thing because I asked him about the Jaden Reed pick, and he was talking about how at that time his board was so strong that they could trade back twice, and hey, if we didn't get Jaden Reed, we'd have gotten somebody else that we had highly graded, right? So if they do feel that way about their second round and third round boards, if you will, then maybe he's a little reluctant to use one of them to go up a couple of spots in the first round. But again, I totally agree with you. I find the mock draft concept of here's who I think they should draft. I don't. No one wants to know who we think because we aren't the ones who scout these guys to the degree that they do. If you are looking at their list of needs, you talked about tackle, but I would argue that on the defensive side of the ball, pretty much everything is a need, whether it's immediately or what else do you think they really need to be in the market for here in the next 2 days?
Well, here's the thing, too, is this all works hand in hand with their current roster and then their projections for the next couple of years, right? Like, we sit here and assume, I guess, that Kenny Clark is still in their long-term plans after this season. But let's say maybe we're wrong. Maybe he's not.
Right.
Maybe this is Kenny Clark's last year here, and even though he's had an unbelievable run, that they feel like the risk of paying him, you know, what he would be worth, assuming he has another good year, just isn't worth it for, you know, one of the older players on their roster. And if that's the case, then defensive tackle or defensive line is a much bigger need than I think maybe people are considering it. But again, that depends on what they think and what their plans are for Kenny Clark. So, you know, you could put that in a need maybe higher than most people think. Obviously, they need another safety unless – even if they're planning on going with Anthony Johnson Jr., as the other safety, I mean, that's it, right? You're going to have to get someone who can play. And I don't necessarily mean a guy who is a seventh round pick, although Johnson was a seventh round pick last year, so maybe I'm wrong there. You know, I don't necessarily think their need at corner is super high. Yet I still have them taking a player who could play corner, could play safety, because I think that they value the versatility of DeJean so much. You know, and then, I mean, like you said, every position, the only position I would be surprised if they took high, and by high, I guess I mean in that first 91, is an edge rusher. I still think they, you know, they have a lot of plans for Lucas Van Ness. They obviously paid Rashawn Gary. They have Preston Smith back. Now, it's a little bit like, I guess maybe I'm contradicting myself here, because if this is Preston Smith's last year,
right?
You know, like Kenny Clark said, maybe you do need one. But I think in this case, you still have a young player in Lucas Van Ness who steps in there, and then maybe you draft one the following year.
Now, do you think there's any chance Lucas Van Ness moves inside, especially on nickel, where you put him like in a Cullen Jenkins role?
Yep.
And if a Chop Robinson, who they may like, falls, they can get him.
Sure.
Because you just said Preston Smith, we don't know how long he's going to be here. Is that something you could see Green Bay doing?
Yeah, that's a great comp to Cullen Jenkins, right? I mean, that's the last time we saw a guy who truly could move inside and be really effective at that spot. Sure. Yeah, I think that's a great point, Tausch. I do think that this whole – we're going to see something, or some things, plural, that when we get into OTAs, minicamp, or maybe it's not till training camp, that with this defense, that you see that this coaching staff had a different viewpoint of how a player, you know, is best used than what we saw last year. And that could be one of those things. It certainly could be Quay Walker, maybe in not exactly the linebacker position that you might think he is. Maybe he's a Sam, maybe he's a Will, whatever the case is. There's going to be something different with this defense, and certainly moving a guy or using a guy like Van Ness or Gary, you know, inside more, maybe a possibility.
Yeah, it was. So you just were talking about the off the ball linebackers. Think they feel good about McDuffie? Think they feel good about Quay? How big of a need do you see Brian Gutekunst looking at saying, and how high do you want to use a pick to go get somebody that could step in there? Because right now, who's going to be those three when they're in base defense, and where do you see that position as far as from a depth standpoint?
Yeah, who, right now the third linebacker would probably be what? Eric Wilson, maybe? He did
Christian
play
Welch.
Welch. Christian Welch played zero defensive snaps last year, and I think has less than 100 defensive snaps in his 5 or 6 year NFL career, which is hard to believe. Eric Wilson did play a couple hundred snaps on defense last year, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I do think that, you know, they would love to have another young player who, you know, who could play that spot. I don't think it has to be a day one or day two pick, though. I really don't. I think you can find a really good off the ball linebacker who's athletic in the fourth round, maybe even the fifth round. So I don't think it's a huge priority. The other thing, Tausch, too, is, you know, I mean, yes, the 4-3 is their base, but, you know, some base used to imply that's what you played more often than not. This is, you know, I'm talking 20 years ago. Now base is just what you play on first and second down or first down, and everything else is nickel, so you don't necessarily need that third linebacker for more than, what, a quarter of the defensive snaps. And so you're really going to draft a guy in the second or third round that's going to play 20-30% of the snaps.
Well, when we talk about alignments and defensive front, we hit Jason Wilde as kind of our expert on two down fronts, three down fronts, spacing, everything else. So, Jason, you can explain that after Rob leaves. Rob, last one for me. Jaire Alexander shows up to the off-season workouts. Everybody's excited about it. Where do you think that relationship is? And I love, because you're a predictor, is Jaire Alexander – this guaranteed money, I know his cap number goes down, all that stuff next year if they get rid of him. Do you see Jaire still as someone they view as he's going to be here for a long time, or is this going to be a let's see how he reacts into this new defense?
Probably more of the latter than the former, see how he reacts. The other thing, too, what if they do draft Cooper DeJean and play him, you know, in a sub role for a year and think he's really good, and they decide they want to get younger? there and cheaper there and move on from Jair. I will say this. I still think Jair's a really, really, really good player, Pro Bowl potential type of player, maybe even All-Pro potential. And I think that I want to think that sort of the rocky part of their relationship is behind them. I'll tell you this, Tausch, and maybe you've had interactions like this before, but sometimes the best relationships you end up having start with a conflict. And there have been plenty of people over
conflict
the years.
Conflict is good, an old football coach used to say.
That's right. Old ball coach says it's good. Yeah. But the idea that maybe the conflict that they had last year, you know, whether it was him and Jair and LaFleur, Jair and Goody, or Jair versus everybody, or maybe it was Joe Barry, whatever. You know, I think the idea that you can come out of that on the, you know, on the other side in a better place, I think is real. There have been plenty of people in my professional life and dealings that started out rocky, or you had a bad interaction and you were ended up better because of it. And, you know, I want to think that that's possible here in this case with Jair and LaFleur, or Jair and management, whatever Jair's beef is or was.
Who'd you get off to a rocky start with?
Yeah. Who are those people? Just give us one name, Rob.
Somebody that Tausch, well, obviously you both know him very well, but someone that Tausch knows intimately well, a former coach of his, who I would now consider among my favorite people in this business. He and I did not start out on a very good note, and okay. We're talking about one James Campen.
His name rhymes with James Campen.
You're kind of you're a feisty guy, though. Wildy's not as feisty, I would say. Jason, because you're not as combative as Rob. Is that a fair assessment?
I think Rob and I get along great because we're a little bit different. I think that's part of it.
Yin and yang.
Indeed. All right, last two for me, Rob. One. There's no way they're giving the fifth-year option to Eric Stokes, which also factors into the Cooper DeJean pick, right?
Yeah. Right. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and with Stokes, like, there's just nothing to go off of there, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that Eric Stokes can't go have a really good year and then sign another deal. In fact,
like Nick Perry.
Nick Perry, that was the one. I knew there was one that they re-signed. Yep.
And then the other thing, the last thing for me, it was interesting, you know, this Goody idea that I would like to have 13 or 14 picks, and it doesn't faze me that we have all these young guys. I know some thought that was subterfuge, because that's a fun word to say. On the flip side, I think he's had this, like, come-to-Jesus deal, and he made a comment toward the end when I asked him about this, about the idea of he had always believed that if you let young guys play through their mistakes, they're better on the other side. I think he is Mr. And it probably affects Kenny Clark from your earlier point. Yeah. I think he is all about a young man's game now. Do you agree with that, or am I assuming?
No, I 100% agree. 100% agree, which is why I brought up the Kenny Clark thing. We all, or many people probably assume that because Kenny Clark's still a dominant player, and that he's, you know, going to be here for another contract, and maybe he will be, and you know, it would be I would have no criticism, you know, if that was the case. But Goody's track record tells you that, you know, better to get rid of a guy a year, maybe 2 years early than a year too late. And I mean, you know, that's not necessarily just Goody's. He didn't come up with that, but it's an adage that some people follow in the league and some people don't. I definitely think you would consider him a follower of that rather than a non-believer.
Rob, I'll see you later this afternoon when we tape our picks. I want to see if you stick with Cooper DeJean or not. And then we'll
spread it out, man. The more guys you say, the more likely you are to be right.
100%, Tausch. So I guess on WBAY tonight, it won't be Cooper DeJean.
All right. That is the great Rob Domofsky. Thanks, Rob. We appreciate your time, buddy.
We'll be seeing you.
Tausch, raise a Coors Light to Rob because he deserves it with all the insights and the predictions and the news breaking and everything he brings
he's great.
To our visits.
He's great, just like Coors Light is great, brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged because it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light's refreshing. It is crisp. It's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a golden Colorado.
We'll ask Tausch what the most interesting thing was that he heard from his favorite beat writer next. It's Wildy and Tausch.